I'm Alan.
And I'm Sean. And together we host the Prancing Pony Podcast.
Every week I explore Middle Earth with Sean or with other co-hosts lately with in-depth analysis and plenty of nerd humor.
From The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings and more, it's a great way for first-timers to experience J.R.R. Tolkien's captivating world.
And for longtime fans, it's a deep dive into their favorite stories.
So if you're ready to take the next step into the most beloved world in fantasy literature
and become a part of a vibrant, active community of listeners,
then look for the Prancing Pony Podcast. Wherever you listen.
This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Just a fair warning, this episode contains spoilers for the Infinites campaign, so if you're joining us before finishing that, this is your heads up. If you like, you can go to stinkydragonpod.com and listen to the Infinites campaign before getting to this one. Hey Stinkers, we have a bonus first exclusive show called Second Wind, where we dive deep into the previous episode, give you a peek behind the DM screen, give you more behind the scenes look at what's going on in the Stinky Dragon world. Well, our next Second Wind will be available to everyone. That's right, we want to give everyone a chance to see what they're missing out on by not being a first member. If you want to catch up on all the previous Second Winds, you can sign up to be a first member at stinkydragonpod.com/first and catch up on everything you missed. To all you gross, swim on into the Stinky Dragon, make a beeline for a most recent mocktail, Swamp and Circumstance. It's a mixture of mire water, marshmallows, a swamp claw sugar, a boggy bite of lime, moss mint leaves, and roughly chopped mages over ice. One swig of this swampy swill, you won't be able to restrain yourself or your prey. Now draw yourself a drink, let's dive back into some dank drama.
I miss that voice.
Oh, he's back.
What's also, he been I just up noticed, to? Is Chris eating ice cream right now at 10 a.m.?
Why would he be eating ice cream at 10 a.m.?
Because it's Chris.
It's an acai bowl, but I wouldn't shut it past
acai
me.
Acai bowl.
Breakfast ice cream.
That's breakfast. I will actually defend Chris here because there's a lot of breakfast food that is like just dessert.
It's all like pancakes.
It's pancakes, waffles, muffins, donuts, cereal, French toast, all of it.
God, y'all are making me hungry.
I know.
We are here for a special one-off, one-shot campaign here using our season one characters, the Infinites. So just a heads up for anyone who's listening, if you have not listened to the first campaign with the Infinites, there may be some spoilers for that campaign in this. You wouldn't necessarily spoil the entire campaign or anything, but if that's something you want to listen to, hey, maybe check out campaign one with the Infinites.
You wouldn't steal a campaign, would you? You wouldn't download a whatever.
Never mind, sorry.
You wouldn't actually download our campaign. Please download our on Spotify.
Please download our
Apple Podcast.
Go to an Apple Store and download it on every product in there. Do whatever
download
you can.
It on multiple platforms if you would.
Just run it all the time. Go to your parents' house. Just put it on their door. They're not going to be able to stop it. Just start it on one of the speakers in their house.
Pets love our podcast.
Why is my phone all full of dead stuff? My phone is...
Just go to your local library and turn them all on.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Why don't we have everyone introduce themselves as well as their characters, race, and class? It's been a little while, so we need to refresh everyone on the characters here.
I'm Barbara Dunkelman, and I play Bart. The halfling bard, a stout halfling, by the way. I don't know if I ever mentioned that in the first
time. I like IPA halflings.
He's not a halfling. He's not a halfling.
Oh,
he's a quarterling.
Yeah. Right, technically.
Which also would be a spoiler for the campaign. So I hope you guys listen
it started
to
right
it.
Off the bat.
Yeah. He throws down their headphones. A quarterling! Come on!
And I'm also a level 16 as well.
Ooh.
Nice. Hi, I'm Blaine Gibson. I play Kyborg, the Mighty. I tried to do this shift into the voice, but it's just my voice.
I'm Kyborg.
I'm Kyborg the Mighty. I did bring a voice for the full length puppet show. Anyways, I'm a Wood Elf fighter, level 16 cyborg, because I got a robot arm. I forgot that detail. That's a fun part of Kyborg.
It's in the name.
It's Kyborg.
Kyborg, I've like disassociated the name Kyborg from the word cyborg because he's like a person now.
That's just his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, you said stout. Whenever you said that, I just imagine you were just saying that Bart was a little tubby. Is that a stout? Different types of halflings.
A stout halfling. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But
86
if you guys
episodes.
Remember, it's Dude. Very important. Bart is very heavy.
You called it out a lot. Muscular. And I just thought you were just making goofs at Bart being a little heavy boy.
I think he looks tiny, but he's heavy.
It's just Barbara did it. Our Barbara set his weight as really high.
It's like 150. That's all it is. Even yeah. It's 4 feet.
Yeah. We discovered that like halfway through the campaign. It made for some fun mental images. But yeah, the halfling variants are hair feet, tall fellow, stout, and light foot. And our friend Bart is of the stout variety. Stout.
I fill out like two of those, maybe three of those things. Like in the real world.
Mm-mm. You should start introducing yourself as such. I'm Chris Damaris, and I play Gum Gum, the half-orc barbarian, 15 levels of barbarian, 1 level of sorcerer.
Wow.
Ooh. Welcome back, Gum Gum.
Welcome back. And last but not least,
I'm John Reisinger, and I play Maud Bramblecrack, who is a Fearbog druid, who is actually level 18. What are you guys all at 16?
Wait, really?
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, God. What did we do wrong? Did you do an extra episode? Hey.
Mud's been off farming XP this whole time while you guys have been, like, working on Stinky Dragon Adventures.
John hired Gus as a private tutor to do Dungeons & Dragons in the off hours.
Just, you know, I like doing side quests.
Yeah, you went back to the starting area and just spammed AoE over and over everywhere to get, like, easy XP.
No!
No, little Jimmy's alive. I swear to God.
Alive and well.
So what are we doing, Gus?
We're going to go ahead and kick everything off with an arrow. No, what? Not a role-playing warm-up, a real arrow. Everyone needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Whoa, we're back in it.
Oh, my God.
Can we say why we're coming back to the Infinites, too?
Yeah, I don't even know why we're like...
Yeah, why are we here?
I was surprised when you guys were like, hey, review your campaign one characters for something we're going to be doing next recording. And I'm like, huh?
You ever wonder why we're here?
Well, we're making a brand new series called Stinky Dragon Adventures, which is a full-length adaptation of the Infinite campaign with puppets. We're talking full episodes. They're around 10 to 11 minutes each. It comes out this November 2023. We're retelling familiar stories and telling some brand new ones. It's going to be the characters you know and love and some new ones as well. We got it all. We wanted to get the gang back together as a way to get people excited about Stinky Dragon Adventures because we are pumped. I mean, we've been working so hard on it and we are incredibly proud of it and we think you're going to love it. So get your eyeballs ready.
And Mamma Mia, it looks good. We got like real lenses that look like this is a movie. Like it is. And we're essentially shooting a movie.
We're shooting a movie.
At the end of the day, it's going to be like around 90 minutes. Like that's a movie. So
yeah. More pressing. What are those dexterity saving throws?
I'm excited. I rolled a 19 on my dexterity saving throw.
I got an 18 for Bart.
I got a 20.
I got a 17.
Ooh. Cyborg number one.
We'll deal with those here in just a moment. It's been 82 years since Gum Gum's wish. Whoa. Much of the world has changed, and you four along with it. What? The last we heard of the Infinites was over 50 years ago. Bart reunited with his dads, and they all set sail aboard the Jebediah, voyaging around the furthest reaches of Faeza. He also started a band with his family, calling themselves the Sideshow Bobs, which filled entire arenas and stadiums worldwide. Kyborg teamed up with Smarsh and picked up where Dr. Ahem left off, helping folks with disabilities and training the next generation of heroes at the Ahem Academy. Yeah. On top of all of that, he rekindled his relationship with Lynn Murr, the Moonstone Dragon. Mud retired from adventuring, settled down in the city of Erbloom. He opened Gumbo's Grounds, a 5-star rated badger cafe and bookstore that specialized in selling picto panel tomes featuring illustrated stories of epic tales.
And dark coffee.
Gum Gum returned to the Embryoak Woods and helped HSD raise orphans at the Orchard Nedge and teach them magic. He still got angry now and then, but he directed that energy into growing things like flowers in his Garden of Hugs. Where do you think you all would find yourselves at the present moment? Just like a sentence or two.
I was going to say something really bad. Dead?
What were you going to say? Mean... We can cut it out. No. No.
6 feet 80, under?
6 years?
Halflings live, all of our races live long.
Live long. Yeah. Okay.
I all have not races, considered yeah, not us half growing old.
But what's the, but the other half of you probably negates
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. You're part
you're like
God.
Half God. So, yeah, I think you're good for at least like 50 years.
I can give you a reference if you want. That's actually here in front
sure.
of you.
Sure.
again, like, listen to campaign one with the Infinite campaign if you haven't. Bart, you know, you're, like we said, you're a quarterling. You're half halfling, half dragonborn. Your current age is about 114 years.
Maybe my voice will finally drop.
I hope it doesn't.
Kyborg, you're roughly 129 years old.
Ooh, an older man.
What's the life expectancy of a wood elf?
Your life expectancy would be like 700 years.
Oh, I'm still in my prime, baby.
You're like a preteen.
Heck yeah.
Gum-Gum, you know, you're half-orc and half-celestial Asimar, and you're currently about 100 years old. Mud, you're sitting at about 113. So all that being said, you're much older than you were in campaign one, but y'all are still kicking. So, you know, just like a sentence or two, where do you think you would be at this moment in time?
What's the time of day?
You could pick for each of you. You're not necessarily together. So whatever time of day works best for you.
All right, I'll go. Me and Lin-Mur, we're wearing matching sweatsuits and we're power walking down the road on the outskirts of Boulderay. We're getting our morning steps in. And I'm like, come on, honey, we're about to beat the record. Here we go.
Oh, what's this? You got Chip Haney in my Kyborg.
Oh, goodness. Get him out of here.
I mean, I think Mud would be spending any of his time not minding the shop. Definitely just going to his favorite spot out in the forest, probably close to some sort of body of water, and just hanging out with Gumbo and reading his books.
Is Gumbo still alive?
Yeah, let's say.
Before is.
During our adventures, Mud procured some life-lengthening magics that Gumbo would grow with him.
Alternatively, you just name several Badgers Gumbos and you add numbers. And Gumbo 3. Gumbo number 5.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, canonically, Mud did come up with that magic in the last episode of the Infinite campaign.
Oh, well, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, to save Bart's parents? Maybe? No? Anyways, let's keep going.
It's been 84 years.
Gumbo is like Mr. Bojangles. Who was it from Green Mile? The mouse that lives forever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what it is. That.
I think with Bart, I think he definitely enjoyed sailing the seas with his family. But after a while, I think he wanted to live a more peaceful on land kind of life. So I imagine right now he's actually visiting Mud's cafe and performing for all the patrons there.
Because
he really likes performing for people. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Some Bart unplugged.
Exactly.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Gum-Gum is working in the garden by the orphanage with a couple orphans, and he's teaching them about like growing flowers and things and how anything can become a magic wand with the right love and magic. So like looking for like sticks and things, or like you grow a big flower and you use its stem as a wand or something like that.
Unicorn poop, you know.
Exactly.
Can I step in really quick? Gus, I'm so curious. With Gum-Gum, did he like grow into, because he was like a teen earlier? Is he like changed personality wise? Like where is, like, is he like a man?
I can't make that call for the player. I mean, that's Chris's call.
I'm asking Chris. Is Gum-Gum man? Like what's going on with his maturity level?
Gum-Gum is man.
Before you answer that, Chris, I'm not letting you off the hook. It's the orchard niche. If I got to say the weird word, you got to say it too.
Orchard niche.
Nope. One more.
Svenix.
Orchard niche.
Orchard niche?
Yeah. Like an orphanage. Like orchard.
Orchardage.
Yeah, if you say it angrily, it sounds.
Yeah, if you say it like a pirate, it's better.
What do you think, Chris? Do you have any thoughts about how Gum-Gum would have grown in that time?
I think he's a bit more mature, but I think he's the same Gum-Gum.
Mm-hmm. Perpetual child at heart.
I think Gum-Gum would think that he's matured.
Yeah. And what is maturity but thinks?
Nope.
Yep.
Wow.
Let's make that a shirt. What is maturity but thinks?
Are you quoting something really philosophical?
I appreciate you validating my theory immediately after I proposed it.
Write that one down. Sounds like Gum-Gum.
All right, so who's shooting at us?
Well, before we get to that, I don't want to spoil that. Like we were just talking here with Gum-Gum, everyone's aged a little bit, starting to get a little older. And as happens, you know, when you get a little older, sometimes you start experiencing some side effects from aging. You know, the body doesn't quite respond the same way it used to. Just for fun, everyone roll me a d6.
I feel like Gus is projecting on us with his own age.
You're going to catch up to me. Every year you get a little closer.
Two.
I go slower than everybody else, though. Six.
Six.
Okay, I'll deal with the sixes last since two of you got it. Kyborg, you feel like maybe you need some spectacles. Your eyesight's not quite as sharp as it used to be. So we're going to say you have disadvantage on perception checks.
Okay.
That's real Blaine.
Yeah, no, I'm truly blind. So Kyborg is just becoming more and more me.
He's got the Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah.
Gum Gum, with your childlike wonder, sometimes, you know, it's hard to remember what's real and what you've imagined. So because you started to experience a little bit of memory loss, we're going to say you have disadvantage on wisdom saving throws, which probably doesn't actually hurt you very much because I bet you would have failed them all anyway.
Yeah.
What's Gum Gum's wisdom modifier?
You're just turning Gum Gum into Barney.
Yeah.
I think it was probably, was it negative one, your wisdom?
My wisdom negative?
Yeah, negative one. My intelligence is the one that's negative three.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, like your intelligence modifier was so low. I forget what it was in campaign one. There was a spell that had no effect on Gum Gum because his intelligence was too low to be affected by it. And Bart and Mud, both with sixes. You all have to be careful. Sometimes you sleep wrong or you sit up too fast and your back will go out. So you're starting to get a little bit of a bad back. So we're going to say you have disadvantage on athletics checks.
Oh, man. Okay. That would be heartbreaking.
For you?
Yeah, for Kyborg.
But anyway, back to that arrow. All of you actually made your dexterity saving throws. So each of you spot an arrow landing near you at your feet in your respective settings. So everyone go ahead and roll a perception check.
Who's shooting an arrow in a coffee shop? Get out of the
ground! Get out of the ground!
You missed!
I'm yelling at the kids that are...
Mr. President!
Get out of the ground!
27.
What did you roll?
Perception?
Oh, I did a performance. I'm so sorry. Wow.
Seven.
He danced out of the way of the arrow.
Yeah. 17.
22.
Kyborg rolled a 25, but he's at disadvantage, so he rolled a 24.
Ah, look at you.
We're back at it.
All right. So Gum Gum, like you said, you start, you know, panicking and telling everyone to get on the ground, and you're so concerned about the arrow and about protecting everyone that you really don't notice much else. You know, it's been some time since you had an arrow fired in your direction. Bart, you know, survey your surroundings and catch a fleeting glimpse of a caped figure in white before they swiftly vanish.
I thought I was done with this 86 years ago, or however many years Gus mentioned that at the top of the show.
But just when I thought that was about, they pulled me back
pulled
in.
Me back in.
And Mud and Kyborg, it all feels familiar, right? A mysterious arrow, a caped figure, but you can't quite seem to put your finger on it. Maybe it's just deja vu. But all of you do look down and see that attached to the arrow is a letter. It's a golden envelope carrying a white seal with the letters LJ.
LJ.
Little Jimmy?
Oh, no. I hope that wasn't
so little
it,
anymore.
Because they would have immediately been like, they called that out top of the episode.
So you said it was a white cape?
Correct.
And there's no way I can shoot it back, right? Because I will have my bow on me. I have my bow on me at all times.
No, it was you catch this like a very fleeting glimpse of someone peeking out of the alleyways of the suburbs, letting loose an arrow and then disappearing behind the neatly organized recycling bins and trash cans.
I clutch Lynn Murr by my side and say, "It's okay. I got you."
She goes.
And then we make out.
Mud opens the letter.
When the letter opens, you hear the sound of trumpets from thin air delivering a thunderous fanfare.
Oh.
The letter reads, "Hail, honored heroes of old. You are cordially invited to the esteemed kingdom of Isla de Venganza, just off the coast of Pharos. There, we will celebrate the 100th birthday of the world-renowned wizard Galindor." Gum Gum to his friends. "The birthday festivities will include karaoke with a live band, archery contest, exotic petting zoo, and caricature topiarists. All accommodations have been covered free of charge. All that is required is your legendary presence one day from you receiving this letter. I await your arrival. His Majesty, King of Isla de Venganza, Captain of his Royal Archers, Master of Marksmanship, 30 years running, Lord Jaime Espejo. P.S. It's me, Little Jimmy." I was shocked when y'all called it out at the top of the episode. I was like, wow, okay.
Gus didn't react, so I was like, Little Jimmy's going to be in this. I sense Little Jimmy. Wait, so it was Isla de Venganza, and it's off the coast of where?
Pharos,
which was...
So remember, Faeza is the world that you all were in. Pharos specifically was the land where you all climbed the ziggurat.
Mm. Okay.
So got just it. To kind of put it in your mind, like where it is within the
fish
world.
People.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
It's just the land there.
And we all saw this note?
Yeah, I assume everyone read it. Oh, Mud's the only one who said that he
read it. I got one of the orphans to help Gum Gum read it.
Would Gum Gum have received this if it's his own birthday celebration?
Seems to be an invitation for a party for him.
If I may, because do we have sending stones? Can we communicate? Like, how are we getting around to talking to each other?
I guess we'll meet there.
Meta gaming. I'm thinking this is some, I'm getting some suspicions that this is the most dangerous game vibes. We're going to go there and they're going to hunt us and we're going to be tasked with some sort of life-threatening challenges, but we'll overcome them through the power of friendship.
So how are each of you going to travel and or are you going to travel and attend this party?
Well, there's no way I would miss my best friend's birthday. Of course I'm going to go.
I was going to say Mud just crumples it up and throws it in the lake. that's the end of Mud for this whole adventure.
John exits the Discord call.
Yeah. All right. I would just make Gus have to keep checking in on Mud while you guys are doing your adventure. The ultimate party split.
Yeah. So anyway, you have a problem with your coffee supplier. Yeah. You need to run down some invoices. Roll a D20 for accounting.
Because I'm training the next generation of... No, what am I saying? I was going to say I could take one of the Hims portals. I ride Smarsh. Weebie!
Ooh. Is Smarsh invited?
Wait, hold up. What did you just scream in delight?
Whippy.
Whippy.
Is that not a whippy?
You said like weepy or whippy.
Listen, I think you're allowed to say whatever exclamation you want to say that translates, that communicates your enjoyment and excitement.
It reminds me of like someone who's first language is not English. Yeah. Like exclaim like whoopee,
but that's they just great. Go
weepy. You weepy.
Blurble gerble.
Yeah.
See.
Okay, so Smarsh is your transportation
king.
I don't know, Gus, is he alive? I mean, he is king still.
Yeah, you were working with Smarsh
at a cocktail bar.
Okay,
is he invited?
I mean, he didn't receive an arrow, but I guess you know. Yeah. Kyborg's taking plus a plus one. Or maybe he's just a droid. He's just going to drop you off and go back home.
Yeah.
He's an Uber.
Yeah.
5 stars, please.
Bart is absolutely going to attend Gum Gum's birthday since he is like a brother to him. So to get there, he's going to take one of his own personal little sailboats that he has.
Oh.
Because he likes to go out on his own boat from time to time.
Can I ask for a little bit of flavor? What's on the crest? What's on the sail? Do you have any cool thing on the sail?
Oh, yes, I sure do, Blaine.
What is it?
It says, Dissonant Whispers.
Oh, is that the name of the boat? The Dissonant Whisper? Cool.
The Dissonant Whisper.
Oh, that's good.
Is it like a custom Bart-sized boat?
Of course, yes.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
It could support heavy weight, but it's very small.
Just a little low center of gravity, so.
I'm imagining, like, anybody ever seen the movie Ponyo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The little boat that gets turned into like the boat that he rides around near the end. I'm imagining it's that size.
My second choice for the boat name is Levity.
USS Levity.
Yeah.
So for Gum Gum, well, first he's going to go to Crumbles. He was an orphan who just also decided to stay and work in the orphanage. He's kind of like Gum Gum's
orchard
like,
bitch.
Orphanage.
He
goes to Crumbles and is like, I have to go to a party. I guess it's for me. And then like, you have to watch the babies. And so he, you know, gets Crumbles up to date. And then the way he gets there is, so the orphanage.
Orchard.
Orphanage. So there are.
Powering through.
There are like. Care. The way the babies come are they're like seeds that fall from the ground, you know, like are they seeds or are they fruit? I don't remember. But then the little babies are inside fruit. Of it. But one method that the orphanage developed to deliver these babies to parents who are further away and aren't able to make the travel is like, you know, those like trees with the seeds, you know, that have like little like wings on them, you know,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kind of go,
like that, you know, and they fly through the air. So they have those on some of the seeds, and there happened to be a baby that was going to be delivered to that area. So Gum Gum hops in with that baby and he rides along with it across the ocean.
This is a big piece of fruit or a big seed, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's a big wing.
But also yeah. Gum Gum gets off just hurling his guts out because he's been spinning for hours.
You've heard of helicopter parents. They've pioneered helicopter babies.
Wait, is there a baby attached to this?
Yeah.
So where's the baby go once you get to the party?
Well, I'm just hopping. I'm just going along for the ride. It takes me to the general area. Okay. I'm going to hop off and be like, hi, I'm Gum Gum. Make sure you got your baby right. Okay, bye-bye. And then Gum Gum will walk the rest of the way or whatever.
You know, that's really good for the baby's development, too, is it's spinning around at terminal velocity.
Yeah.
Most important days in the embryo.
That's funny. I mean, Mud has built-in transportation wherever Mud wants to go. So Mud would turn into a... I think I'm feeling a bat. A bat's a good one.
Do you say bat before you transform?
Yeah, and I think at this point, Mud would have fashioned a little like saddle that Gumbo gets to ride in now, so Gumbo can come along and that kind of thing. Kind of like How to Train Your Dragon style.
Adorable.
And he gets to like be in the driver's seat. And,
what do
and
you say when you fly off? Is it whippy?
Listen, all right. I don't like me bullying. All right. Wait, no, I was going to say in 80 years, you've seen all the zoos in the world. So you know every animal there is to turn
every
into.
Every animal,
right?
Every animal. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Got him. We got him, John.
The problem is he worked so hard in the coffee shop. He's had really no free time.
Ah.
Actually, since I don't have to burn a slot for it, Mud turns into a dragon.
Ooh.
I can turn into dragons, and so Mud does a dragon. So Gumbo gets to come in like full, like step down as with a dragon.
And I'm just vomiting off of a seed.
So you all arrive at a tropical island teeming with tall, fronded trees and white sandy beaches. The ambience of wildlife chitters in the background, but what truly takes your breath away is the castle that fills up your view. Pristine bricks of ivory form four lofty towers with golden belfries at the top. From this angle, it almost looks like an elaborate sandcastle gleaming in the sunlight. A black iron portcullis raises in the center of the keep and out marches two lines of white caped minstrels, half of them blowing trumpets and the others bearing snare drums. A long gilded rug appears between the band, and out from the castle steps a dwarf wearing a feather earring.
It is our honor to welcome the highly acclaimed heroes known as the Infinites to Isla de Venganza, featuring Bartholomew, the beauteous bard, Galindor, the great wizard, Mud, the majestic druid, and Caedelius, the keen-eyed archer and or fighter, a.k.a. Kyborg the Mighty. Now presenting His Majesty, King of Isla de Venganza, Captain of his Royal Archers, Master of Marksmanship, 30 years running, Lord Jaime Espejo.
Please, Erica, these friends may simply call me Lil Jimmy.
Yes, Your Eminence of Accuracy. You may refer to his lordship as Little Jimmy.
Lil Jimmy rolls his eyes and rubs his temples while closing the distance to you across the gilded rug.
My friends, it pleases me greatly to see your faces once again. Dear Daya, how long has it been?
100 years.
Nope.
No, that's insane. You've been alive. Oh. I'm going to be alive for 100 years. It's your birthday, right?
82 years. That's right, Mud.
So we already all saw each other reunited and had a reuniting.
Yeah we didn't have our cute little moment or a little, you know.
I would like to think that we all stay in touch.
And I would have done the, to all of them, the predator high five, catching them by the hands.
On your metal arm, right?
No, I don't want to rip you guys' arms off. You old guys' arms off. You look like hell, all of you. I'm an elf.
Except you try to do that, but your perception would be so bad you'd miss all the high fives.
Yeah.
Or he's just saying that to a tree next to us.
He's real Mr. Magoo energy.
Yo, Gummy Mud, you're strong as ever. Built like a tree.
Are we having a reunited moment?
Sure, if you want, yeah.
I brought birthday presents for y'all.
82? Well, we probably didn't miss each other's birthdays that many, right?
Well, and I think Gum Gum was like he saw it as a birthday party, and he's like, I gotta get a gift.
Oh, it's his own birthday party, though.
What'd you get me, Gum Gum?
So, for you, Bart, I made a kazoo out of this gourd I grew in the garden.
Could you play it for me? Wow.
It's a special kazoo.
Beautiful.
And for you, Kyborg, I made a special arrow, but instead of feathers at the end of it, it's got flowers at the end of it.
Oh.
It doesn't fly at all.
And yeah. For you, bud, here I got,
and he reaches into his pocket and pulls out some dirt. And he's like, I got some of the best dirt in the whole garden. And it's just
that's
for you.
Lovely.
Wow.
I miss you guys.
Mud puts it in his little bag.
Nice. Anyway, sorry.
It's lovely.
Happy birthday to all of us.
Yeah. Now that he's standing near you, you all actually find yourselves blinking in disbelief at the size of little Jimmy. He easily towers over all of you with thighs and biceps thicker than Bart's body.
Oh.
Impossible.
Not only that, he's resplendent in an immaculate white mantle topped with a golden wreath wrapped around his silver head of hair.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget? It's been 82 years. Ah, what an occasion to be reunited with such friends. Oh, where are my manners? Infinites, this is my humble Esquire, Erica. She will play host to you while you stay here at Isla de Venganza. Erica, have I ever told you the tale of when I first met the famous Infinites?
Oh, I'm afraid not, your hawk-eyed highness.
Oh, well, you're in for a treat. But I'm afraid my friends could tell it far more eloquently than I ever could. Please, please, regale us with every detail. Oh, and to make it fun, each of you take turns saying one word at a time as you tell the origin story.
Stop. No. I love it.
Perfect.
Why don't we start with Kyborg?
Mission. We. Dang it.
We're
on
a
Black Ops
mission.
To
find
the
Paralyte.
The Paralyte.
Was it my
turn? Yeah, Barbara jumped ahead.
But
we.
It's my turn.
This is going exactly how I imagined it was going to go as soon as you said that, guys.
We go Blaine, fun. Barb, Chris, John.
There you go.
So Blaine.
Couldn't.
What did he say before?
We couldn't.
Find.
Her.
So.
We.
Went.
Into.
The.
Woods.
Yeah.
And.
Dodged.
Oh. Arrow. Yeah.
And
tracked
a
little
Jimmy.
Oh, you guys, it's Jai. You remember it like it was just yesterday.
Guys, it's like no more.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Whole hour of this.
I knew you guys could tell it better than I could, and wow, the details. it's like I'm watching it happen.
I'm rolling for insight to see if he's lying right now.
Hey, you, listener. Did you know the best way to support Tales from the Stinky Dragon is to support us through a first membership? You can directly support us. And on top of that, you get something. You get ad-free episodes.
Yeah, it's only $5.99 a month, and you get access to all the Stinky Dragon stuff, including Second Win, our bonus show, where we go deep dives into like the week's episode. You get like behind the DM information. You get insider knowledge from Micah, the world builder. It's great.
If you want to find out more information, head over to stinkydragonpod.com/first. Get more information and, hey, sign up today.
Do it.
Want to get your hands on some Stinky Dragon merch? Head over to store.roosterteeth.com. Check out Tales from the Stinky Dragon merch, like our grotesque player character apparel, blurble gerbil mugs, and shirts, and much more. Again, store.roosterteeth.com.
Hey, you stinkies, you can't get enough of that stinky soundtrack? Well, head on over to Spotify or wherever you stream your music, where you can find all the music written and composed and performed by my brother, Micah.
Several of the albums include epic encounter music to use in your own D&D campaigns, or you can make your daily commute or chores that much better or that much more tense. Roll a d20 for traffic.
Go listen to the music right now wherever you stream music from.
Shaving's like going to the gym. I don't always want to do it, but I'm always happy I did afterwards. Having a freshly shaved face leaves me feeling clean, more confident, definitely more prepared to start my day. No matter why you shave, Harry's has you covered for the best shave of your life without a premium price tag attached. Harry's blades are made in their own factory in Germany that stays sharp. Guys who've tried it say their ace shave is just as sharp as their first. Their sleek, ergonomic weighted handles look great in your bathroom, give you precise control with each swipe. And their products like the exfoliating face wash and hydrating lotion keep your skin healthy and hydrated. Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry. They're still offering a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. There's really no reason not to try Harry's. So to get your best shave ever this summer with Harry's razors and skin products, get a $13 starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/dragon. That's harrys.com/dragon for a $3 starter set. Whether you're on the grind during the work week or lounging on the couch watching Stinky Dragon puppet videos on YouTube, MeUndies is here to keep you comfy this fall. They're always rolling out new seasonal prints in their signature Tense Micromodal fabric. They even have prints featuring Jack Skellington and Zero from The Nightmare Before Christmas just in time for Halloween. And with so many styles to choose from, there really is something for everyone. MeUndies are light and breathable to help regulate your body temperature so you stay cool and comfy. They use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers. Plus, MeUndies isn't just about underwear. They also have a lounge collection, including cozy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. I'm a big fan. MeUndies are the only underwear I wear. On top of that, I wear some of their lounge collection stuff, especially, you know, as the weather gets a little cooler whenever I'm hanging out at home. It's all super comfortable. You're going to love wearing it. It feels great. Take my word for it. If you're not happy with your first pair of undies, there's no worries. It's on MeUndies. So to get 25% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/stinky. That's MeUndies.com/stinky for 25% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. A crazy schedule can make it easy to fall back into your dinner time recipe rut. Keep mealtime exciting with over 40 recipes to choose from each week, so there's always something delicious to discover with HelloFresh. With so many in-season ingredients, you'll taste all the freshness of fall in every bite of HelloFresh's chef-crafted recipes. Produce travels from farm to your door for peak ripeness you can taste. HelloFresh does all the shopping and meal planning for you. Ingredients arrive at your doorstep pre-portioned, ready to cook, along with pictured step-by-step recipe cards. Come on, how easy is that? Even if you're a dum-dum like me, I love it because, like I said, there are pictures of the go step-by-step to show you what it's supposed to look like. You know, if they tell you to do something, you might be wondering, what is that supposed to look like? What am I supposed to do? Oh, there's a picture there that shows you. For me, it's a lifesaver. Go to HelloFresh.com/50Dragon. Use code 50Dragon for 50% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/50Dragon. Use code 50Dragon for 50% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Come, let's go into the castle.
Lord Jamie and Esquire Erica lead you all through the black iron gates. You all enter the ivory castle and find yourselves in a grand hall decked with hanging floral banners. On one side, topiaries are being trimmed into hilarious faces next to a stage that's with a live band playing classic hits. On the other side is a charming corral of bizarrely cute beasts and an indoor archery range with swinging targets. Erica kind of dusts herself off and very formally says,
"Please, enjoy the activities in the hall. Why don't you start with the topiary caricatures?"
"Can I ask a question first?"
"Yes, by all means."
"I'm curious, what is the specific occasion for celebrating this specific year of Gum Gum's life?"
"Gum Gum turns the fortuitous number 100. Truly a momentous occasion and a long-storied life."
"When did you become a king?"
"That's Erica."
"Oh, yeah, it's Erica who's
When did little Jimmy become a king?"
"There you go."
"Lord Jaime led a long and very fortunate campaign of adventures here all across Pharaohs. He rose through the ranks of the established royalty and houses until he rightfully ascended the throne to take his current position."
"When did little Jimmy get so hot?"
You can answer this as Erica or whoever. What race is little Jimmy? Like, what is he?"
"I think was he human or was he, no, he was,
he'd be 100 by now though.
Dwarf?
If I remember right, I believe little Jimmy was half human, half Goliath."
"Oh. Whoa. So we caught him right when he's a little bud.
He must have been a baby.
Right before his little growth spurt."
"His little growth spurt."
"Okay, sorry. I interrupted that with a question. What was it they said to try out the topiary?"
"Yeah, the topiary caricatures."
"What is that, Mud?"
"They're going to cut a bush into your likeness, Gum Gum."
"Oh.
I assume." Mud walks over and says, "Can you do a badger?"
You walk over and you see there's a few rows of shrubs with varying colors of leaves, and there's a fun house mirror. And you see some of the shrubs have already been trimmed into caricatures of people's faces, while others remain untouched. The fun house mirror must be like there to provide some kind of inspiration. So if you want, you yourselves can look into the mirrors or not, or trim your faces, or trim each other's faces, or try to trim Gumbo's face, whatever you want. It's a DIY station.
So it's not like a person doing them.
Yeah.
Well, really quick, Kyborg's kind of like, he's got like danger sense up right now. Like, I feel like something's still amiss. Do I recognize any of the faces in the bushes? Is it like other allies or enemies that we've encountered in the past?
Go ahead and make a perception check.
Oh, no. Disadvantage. That's an eight. That's an eight. I'm squinting.
You've never seen any of these blurry faces before.
All checks out. Looks good.
Let's take a group picture.
Is a group bush?
A group bush.
I'll say you do find a topiary that looks like little Jimmy's face, like you remember it when you first
met
him.
When I was younger? Aw.
Yeah.
Does this castle have like different bushes of like his different ages, like how people have like their kids' photos on the walls of them, like the different school pictures?
That would be funny. This appears to be most likely like a temporary setup for the party, yeah. Not like a permanent installation.
It's a DIY bush carving.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone get together. It's
okay. All right. We'll all just stand together. And then are we going to carve ourselves or each other?
I think Gum Gum's going to do it the entire thing.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right, everyone smile.
Cheese.
No, say bush.
Bush.
So everyone's just going to smile. No one's going to do a funny face or anything. You're just going to try to...
I hold a gumbo up like a proud papa.
I smile, and then through my smiling teeth, I lean over to Mud, and I say, hey, Mud, you can talk to plants. What are they saying right now as Gum Gum trims them as he cuts off their limbs? Oh, how do they feel, Mud?
You've gotten dark in your old age.
Mark's doing a wink.
I like it.
Gum Gum, go ahead and roll a nature check to see if you're able to capture all of these expressions very accurately.
That's an intelligence roll.
Yeah, it's not my strongest.
That's a three.
It's just stick figures.
I take it down. There's no bush left, just sticks.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you cut all of the greenery off of the topiary, leaving just bare branches. There is one that looks a branch that looks remarkably like Bart winking.
Wow.
That's beautiful, Gum Gum. You got my likeness, exactly.
That's funny.
It's just a branch with a sliver out from the wing.
Great job, Gum Gum.
You look around to see there are various other activities in the courtyard of this castle as well.
Look, Kyborg, it's an archery range.
I'll go to the archery range. What the heck?
Yeah.
Is anybody the challenge there? Is anybody else shooting it up?
Well, you walk over and there's like an array of hay bales at different heights and distances with targets set up at different angles. Some are swinging on ropes that are hanging from above. You know, others move on cranks and tracks. So it's just like, you know, when you go to a carnival and you try to like hit as many targets as you can to, you know, get points and win a prize.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll shoot some things.
Yeah.
I'd like to try as well.
Okay.
Cool.
Bart's watching, but all of a sudden he uses his disguise kit to put on a little cheerleader uniform.
Who's Bart cheering for?
It's old Bart in an old little cheerleader outfit.
No, Bart looks the exact same. Hasn't aged a day.
The hair.
Very hairy armpits.
In order to see who wins, why don't we have one of you make 5 attack rolls using your dex modifier and proficiency bonus if you're proficient with bows. And then the other one make 5 and we'll see, you know, who gets the most hits.
Should I roll with my longbow or, okay, you said modifiers, dex modifier.
Right, because like you're not actually attacking, you're not using your equipment. It's like whatever like little dinky bows that they have there set up.
What's my dex modifier?
Your dex,
plus
like a check.
5.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many? You want to do 4, 5 d20s?
Yeah.
All right, ka-chow. You got some good ones in there. That's a 17, a 16, a 17, a 19, and an 8. All those plus 5. I don't want to do the math.
Mud, you see Kyborg step up, and most of his shots look pretty good. One of them, you can definitely tell Kyborg's a little off his game there.
Okay.
Go ahead and make your rolls there, Mud.
It's a dinky bow.
Mud casts Enhance Ability.
Oh, my God.
And gives myself Cat's Grace, which gives me advantage on dex checks.
But that's dex checks. You would roll d20s and add your dex modifier and your proficiency if you're proficient with bows.
Okay.
No, let him cook because he just rolled 2 2s.
I'll do then guidance instead.
Okay.
Since that gives me an extra d4.
Thank you. I was about to ask. Like, it's been a minute since we've encountered guidance, I think.
Okay. So that's 15, 16, 3, 2, 4. Bad ones. Those all get plus 7, and then you can add these 5 numbers to those as well, which is
13342.
Your first couple of shots ring true, and after the first two shots, Kyborg's definitely sweating, but then, I don't know, maybe a little bit of dirt gets in your eye or something, and your last couple of shots aren't quite up to par. Very narrowly, by the skin of his teeth, Kyborg does manage to rack up a couple more points than you. The person running the archery range rings a bell and says, "Winner, winner! We have a winner!"
Woo!
I think it's yippee. Or what was
Whippy.
And the person running the booth shoves a prize into your hands, Kyborg.
What is it?
It's a little goldfish in a bag.
Oh, I don't want this. Bud, do you want this? I don't like live animals. You're the live animal guy.
Sure, I'll take care of it.
Maybe it's something disguised as a goldfish.
I'll do a I'll do a perception check to see if it's really a goldfish.
Make your perception check. It would probably be a nature check, but whatever.
Okay.
Oh, with disadvantage, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
16.
You don't remember goldfish having such sharp, pointy teeth.
Yeah, you can keep it, Mud. It's fine. But I do a backflip to celebrate my victory.
Do.
I still got it.
Nice.
What'd you roll?
Where's your check? Your acrobatics check.
Okay, here we go. 12.
Oh, God. You rolled a 2 and you have a plus 10 modifier.
It's not graceful by any stretch of the imagination, but you do bust out a very wobbly backflip.
And then
you
goes, my hip.
You heard that old video of the guy that has the nunchucks and he does a backflip and then hurts his head and then falls into a wall?
To the side, yeah.
I do that, but against a tree.
Thank you for the new pet, Kyborg. I will name him Smudge.
Smudge is Prince.
Mud, you make me a nature check.
Not going to be much better than...
Oh, yeah, I forget. You're the druid with not great nature checks.
I'm the druid with a plus 1 on intelligence.
Yeah, what a pretty goldfish.
That's lovely.
There's also a small wooden stage with what appears to be like a backup band and a little petting zoo set up there as well.
Bart, do you have any new pieces that you've been working on you'd be able to share?
Sure do. Bart's always working.
It's a slightly raised wooden stage, and Bart, you know, you have a musical background. You can tell that the band is just there to accompany anyone that wants to go up and sing their favorite song or play an instrument as well if they want. It looks like they have some instruments set aside that people can choose from.
Yeah, I'll play the good old lute.
Oh, Bart, you can use the new kazoo I made.
Could I do both the lute and the kazoo? Like where it's like strapped? Yeah.
Peter Frampton?
Yeah.
Or whatever we talk to, do you feel?
But the thing is that every time I play the kazoo, Chris has to make the sound that the kazoo makes.
Micah just called you Bart Dylan.
Yeah.
And don't wear it out. All right. A 1 and a 2. Yeah!
That was really good. Each of you, I guess, you know, we had Chris doing the kazoo sound, but Bart, you're the one performing, so go ahead and make a performance check.
Oh, I sure will. 33.
Wow, my God. Oh,
Bart, it's very apparent that you've kept up with your performances, and as you're performing, you can hear whispers amongst the crowd like, Sideshow Bob's. From the Sideshow Bob's? I saw them in concert years ago. Wow. And then when you finish your song, there's like thunderous applause in the courtyard.
Is anyone throwing their undergarments at me?
Yeah, sure. There's a smattering of undergarments on the stage.
I throw a brazier, not a brazier, but a brazier.
Just throwing an entire light fixture at Bart.
It's an inside joke from 80 years ago.
I thought Bart was going to say that he forgot his underwear, so he was looking for some new ones.
Hey, you don't know what he needs it for.
I forgot to pack underwear.
Why didn't you make me do an animal handling check for that fish? I would have rolled better.
Yeah, you weren't trying to handle it? The last thing you all have not investigated yet is there's an exotic petting zoo as well.
Can we go look at it?
Yeah. Let's go look at it.
I think all of us want to go look at that.
What's in there?
There's a wooden pen housing cute exotic creatures. There's a baby aurochs, a baby foxer, which is a combination of otter and fox. A baby owlbear, and a baby sliger, which is a hybrid seal and tiger.
Kyborg pulls out his bow. Oh, another shooting range!
Oh, God.
No?
No, remember the hamster. Don't do it.
Oh, God.
God.
Okay, I'm gonna go play with the owlbear.
Yeah.
The biggest, most dangerous thing he listed.
Make an animal handling check.
Oh, is it a baby owlbear?
Yeah, baby owlbear.
Okay, adorable. Baby. I've seen those in Baldur's Gate.
9.
They're not trying to murder the party goers. Yeah, the owlbear likes to play a little rough, Gum Gum.
That's okay.
How do you want to play with it?
Well, I guess we're going to wrestle.
Oh, okay. It makes sense that baby owlbear's playing rough, so Gum Gum, yeah, you know, starts wrestling with it.
Hey, do you guys remember when Gum Gum killed that owlbear in his
birthday?
No! Oh, God. He had to get too tight.
Make a grapple check, Gum Gum. Oh, let's see who wins, you or the owlbear. See, you can either use strength or dexterity.
It's 15.
15. All right. The owlbear is going to roll with strength. It's a baby. I'm going to say it gets +2 on this roll.
I'm okay letting it win, too.
Oh, 15. It ties. Neither of you can get the upper hand. You both keep going back and forth over who seems to be winning in the wrestling match.
A formidable foe, Mr. Owlbear.
I was going to say that makes sense for Gum Gum because then that's just a hug.
True. Man, what a perfect roll. Anybody else want to pet or play with any of the other creatures?
What are there again?
There's a baby aurochs, a baby foxer, which is a hybrid otter fox. And a baby Sliger, which is a hybrid seal and tiger.
I want to go to the aurochs.
Oh, yeah. It's the cutest little baby aurochs you've ever seen in your life. It's absolutely adorable.
You got a dad? You got a mom or dad?
I could be
sure
dad.
It does, but you don't see them around anywhere. They just seem like they brought out the baby versions of these animals.
I go to the foxer, and it reminds me of Fred, but also all the Valrazians that I killed. And I pet it, thinking about those things that I've done in my past.
Oh. Jesus, you have gotten dark in your old age.
I don't want to talk about it, Mud.
Yeah, Mud just jumps in the pen and brings Gumbo in and just kind of, I guess Mud would want to turn into something like maybe an aurochs itself to like just kind of run around and play with the animals.
Okay. Yeah, so you turn into an aurochs. And how do you want to play? Do you want to play specifically with the baby aurochs or with all of them in general?
I want to see if I can do that thing where, like, certain dogs in the dog park can get all the other animals to, like, be running around and they're all just kind of, like, racing around the edge of the whole thing.
Yeah.
See if I can get, like, just a big old, like, stampede going for fun.
Make an animal handling check. See if you're able to entice the animals to race around.
While this
around.
Is happening, Bart is petting Mud.
28.
Cowborg is sports betting over who wins.
28. Yeah, you successfully managed to induce zoomies in all of the baby animals that are there.
Do they have like names like the owlbear? Do they have a name?
Oh,
what?
I asked the owlbear what its name is. I can speak.
Its name is Bark Scratch.
Its name is Bark Scratch.
Hi, Bark Scratch. I'll scratch your bark if you scratch my back.
You look at the claws on the owlbear, and even though it's a baby, you do wonder if there is much wisdom in that plan.
Gum Gum, you take 18 slashing damage.
As you are playing with the different animals and asking the baby owlbear its name, you hear a fanfare, and out from the back doors comes an 8-tier cake rolling precariously on a small silver cart. Each tier of the cake has been painstakingly decorated to depict each of the Infinite's adventures over the years. The live band begins playing the traditional happy birthday song,
but Lord Jaime very quickly jumps up and interrupts them and says,
Bart, why don't you come up and perform an original version of the birthday song for Gum Gum? And your friends, all of the Infinites, come up. Give Bart a hand.
All right, we're each going to be doing a different verse. All right, boys, we all know it.
All right.
I'll start.
Okay, I'll go next.
All right. 1 and 2 and 1, 2, 3. Gum Gum, it's your birthday. It's a very special day for your birthday. Gum Gum, we love you. Gum Gum, it's your birthday.
Gum Gum, it's your birthday. You are such a special boy. Gum Gum, it's your birthday. We got you a great big toy.
Friends, thanks for the birthday. Friends, thanks for the birthday. Friends, thanks for the birthday. Friends, you made my day.
Gum Gum, it's your birthday. You're a lovely little lad. Gum Gum, it's your birthday. I hope today will make you glad. Yay! Gum Gum, it's your birthday. You're 100 years old now.
Gum, it's your birthday. Every time I see you, say wow.
Everyone in the audience begins applauding and cheering, and little Jimmy pats you on the back and says, blow out your candles, Gum Gum. And at the very top of the cake on the eighth tier are 100 lit candles waiting to be blown out.
Okay.
Esquire Erica shambles up with a ladder and offers it if you need it.
Gus, I'm begging you. I don't want a background DM. Please make him do some sort of dexterity check. Please.
I'll climb up the ladder and do it. Did I just do it?
Make an acrobatics check to see if you're able to successfully do it without falling into the cake.
Oh, please fail. Please fail. Please fail.
20.
Oh, that's pretty good. You inhale and let out a giant breath of air, and the candles go out and everything goes dark.
Oh, no.
You hear the shattering of glass clattering to the ground, followed by footsteps scampering all around.
What is the meaning of this? Wait, who's there? Unhand me at once. Please, my friend, save me.
Four mysterious voices reverberate off of the walls. They somehow sound familiar, yet unrecognizable.
Though you may forget yesteryear, time remembers every moment.
Is unforgiving, relentlessly stripping away everything in its path.
You may delay the inevitable, but time will always catch up.
In other words, every second is of infinite value. Prepare yourselves, heroes, for vengeance. 82 years in the making.
And chandeliers spark to life, lighting the hall once more. And there doesn't seem to be any new faces around you, just one that's missing. Little Jimmy.
No!
Did you have a lot of soda to drink right before that?
I'm sorry, that started as a yell and then it became a burp. I'm sorry, guys.
Whippy!
Kyborg just drank an entire liter of Sprite.
I'm wafting at the air. It smells terrible.
Oh. Esquire Erica seems to be running around frantically.
What's happening? Where's Lord Jaime? Where did he go? Nothing can happen to him.
Well, it seems like something did happen to him.
Well, I had dark vision. Can I relay anything that I may have seen? Or it was this magical darkness?
It was some type of magical darkness because you were unable to see through it.
Cop out.
And so it was four voices.
It doesn't work in magical darkness. Yes, there were four different voices.
Could any of us tell if we recognize any of the voices or if they sound familiar?
You said they sound familiar, but not at all.
One sounded pretty familiar.
Bart, why don't you make wisdom check?
I'm going to do it too.
Can I join in?
Sure.
Wisdom check.
I will too.
I only rolled a 10.
17.
Here's mine with my plus zero. 5.
The wisest Gumbo. Party of all.
Gumbo number 5.
Gum Gum with a 16.
Oh, nice. Birthday boy.
Didn't I say you had a disadvantage on wisdom checks or what
yes,
was that?
Yes, let me roll again. Gum Gum with a 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's
where it is. Yeah. So it's 17 for Mud, basically.
Yeah.
17.
You can't quite place it. There's something familiar, but not quite in your head. You can't quite put your finger on it.
Okay.
Gotcha. I think Mud would turn into an owl, get to the top of the area and look around and see if there's any like clues of what happened, an exit, an entry, trail, anything like that.
Make an investigation check for me, Mud.
And while Mud's doing that, could I look around like on the floor to see if like there's any pieces of fabric or like hair or anything like physically that these people might have left behind?
Yeah, you make me a survival check then, Bart. I'm going to deal with Mud's first while you do that. What'd you get there, Mud?
19.
You know, you take to the sky and begin looking around, and from the air, you're able to spot near the funhouse mirror where the topiaries were, you see a semi-circled wreath made of golden leaves.
You recognize it as Lord Jaime's crown.
Lord Jaime.
It's crown.
And now that you see that and you think about it, you realize even though you heard the sound of breaking glass, you don't see the signs of broken glass fragments anywhere. The mirror itself is intact.
Hmm.
Bart, what did you get on your survival check?
A nat 20 for 25.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah, you begin investigating and immediately you see several sets of footprints found on the mosaic tile floor. There's four separate sets ranging from small to medium-sized humanoids trail from the funhouse mirror between the cake and the topiaries. Amongst the prints are a set of drag marks leading straight into the funhouse mirror.
On top of that, you see there's a handprint of blood found on the frame of the funhouse mirror. And based on the size of it, it seems to match the large hand of little Jimmy.
So, like, he was bleeding when he was dragged in.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Kyborg is, you know, he wants to join in on the investigation. So he walks over to the birthday cake and then takes a big scoop of it and then tastes it just to see what it's made out of.
A big scoop of the birthday cake. What would that be? Make an investigation check. You're investigating the cake.
Okay, that's with my minus one.
Yeah.
That's a zero.
You've never had a cake like this before. Yeah. What is it?
You've never had cake.
My eyes narrow and I say, delicious.
What is a zero on tasting a cake?
You proclaim to the audience that it's the most delicious pie you've ever had in your life.
He just shoves it up his nose, doesn't know how to eat.
It's birthday cake, everyone. It's birthday cake.
So you said the 4 footsteps went from the cake to the topiaries.
Yeah. He's describing that clearly they must have come from what seems to be that mirror, grabbed Jimmy and gone back.
Okay, because Jimmy was by the cake.
Correct. You would think that seems to be the case because the drag marks that you notice lead from there towards the funhouse mirror.
And you said they're humanoid footprints, all of various sizes.
Small to medium.
Yeah, ranging from small to medium-sized humanoids.
Yeah, I mean, the mirror's obviously a portal, right? It's got to be. Or some sort of illusion that's covering up where the mirror was. Because if there's no glass.
But we heard the sound of broken glass?
That's why I'm thinking the closer we get to it, the more we might realize that it's like an illusion of some sort.
Can we go to the funhouse mirrors, like over to them? And then can I do detect magic?
Yeah, so you're investigating the mirror?
Yeah, I want to do my...
The detect magic?
Yeah, detect magic. It's not called detect magic, but it's whatever it is.
Show me the magic.
There it is.
I was waiting for it. The mirror seems to be emanating with some type of conjuration magic.
There's some type of conjuration magic.
And now that you're looking at it, you know, you focus your attention on it, you see that along the mirror's frame are runes written in 4 different languages.
Ooh. Do I recognize any of the languages or does anyone else?
Yeah, you recognize some of them. They all seem to be saying the same phrase over and over. Look within. It's written in Druid, Elvish, Halfling, and Orc.
Look within.
Look within.
Bart does the thing where he pulls the collar of his shirt out and looks down.
Kyborg goes up to Gum Gum and opens his mouth and looks inside.
Mud is just shaking his head.
You gotta look within, Mud. Look within.
Mud goes up to the mirror and tries to put a hand against the mirror.
Turn into a kangaroo. Look into your little pouch.
Is there an inn nearby? Like a tavern or an inn that we should investigate?
Oh.
Mud, you walk up to the mirror and touch it, and you feel the glass envelop you like a thick swirling soup of prismatic colors.
Ooh.
And you disappear from the view of everyone else.
I guess there's no time like the present.
Bart does the same thing and touches the mirror.
All right, touch.
Gum Gum says as he touches.
I don't know what lies ahead, so I want to make sure that I say goodbye to my beautiful wife, Lynn Murr. So I find a nearby object and I kiss it.
What object?
What do I got?
I mean, you're in like a castle that was set up for all kinds of party activities. So you could find that topiary that Gum Gum carved earlier.
Yep. Yeah, I go to the topiary and I kiss it.
All right. The face of Lynn Murr magically appears and returns the kiss.
Yeah, and I say, hey, we're on an adventure. Ha, crazy, right? Anyways, see you later. And then I go and I do a backflip, 4 front flip into the mirror.
You got to roll the acrobatics check.
Watch this, honey. That's a 23.
All right, it's good. So the same thing happens to all of you. You pass through the mirror and feel the glass envelop you like a thick swirling soup of prismatic colors. Fragments of reflection spiral past you with faces and vistas, many of them you've never seen. Finally, you tumble onto the floor, or is it the ceiling? You appear to be in a square room purely made of glass, but perhaps I should be clearer. It's not a cubed room, it's specifically a square. You can look side to side and up and down, but depth is no more.
What?
Everyone and everything is now 2-dimensional.
We're cartoons!
How are we supposed to look within if we're 2-dimensional? There's no in.
Oh, no. You're going to have to find out how that happens on the next episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon.
Oh, my God.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you in the next part of this Infinite's one shot. Well, not really one, I guess, but I mean, you know what I mean.
And be sure to check out Stinky Dragon Adventures
in November.
Available at stinkydragonpod.com.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a great way to support us too. It's available for first members. If you sign up, that's like the best way to support us. And we worked really hard on this show. We really think you're going to love it. So please, please, please check it out.
Don't forget to check out Second Wind, where we'll talk about this episode.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Salute, Matidia. I'm here to let you know that Extra Life is back for another year of shenanigans to raise money for a good cause. Tune in Saturday, November 11th for the return of the 24-hour stream with the whole Stinky Dragon crew. Did you know that you can directly support the show and interact with us by subscribing at stinkydragonpod.com/first? Cool, talented, amazing first stinkers like Fake Account to chat on Discord, Pyrope, Polar Bear TC, Darth, and Aberwine are directly supporting the show and get access to more great content like Second Wind. They interact with us on the subscriber-only Discord channels and more. Again, that is stinkydragonpod.com/first. This episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon was produced by Ben Ernst, written, edited, and composed by Michael Reisinger, with additional editing work by David Savigny. Here's a quick shout out to the folks who interacted with us on social media recently. Here are some NPCs named after them in the episode, like Jimmy, aka Jim Espejo, at JimmyKing411 on Twitter, Esquire Erica, aka Erica Makes Things on Reddit. We also want to give a special thanks to some friends who provided VO for characters in this episode. Little Jimmy was played by Gustavo Sorolla, aka at Sorolla. Esquire Erika was played by Kristen Bates, aka at Kristen K. Bates. Go follow us at Stinky Dragon Pod. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Interact with the community over on our subreddit, r/Stinky Dragon Podcast, or on the Rooster Teeth Discord. For access to the Discord, go to stinkydragon.com, and on the left side of the page, click on Community, then Discord right underneath. See you there. Tune in next time for another thrilling episode of Tales from the Stinky Dragon.
I hate to interrupt you, but do you mind saying that one more time? There was like a truck backing up or a garbage truck while you read that, and I heard the, or while he said that, and beep, I heard the beeping.
Beep. It was Trevor's big old badonk.
It's true. He's backing that butt up.